Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We're going to begin right away with Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Teshveva kechid avadan durboda charitasya hi lelaika sapitatasya nadosha kirtane mata. Translation. But some of those residents of Vaikuntha said, among the Lord's inconceivable activities, those playful pastimes are also his, so there is no fault in chanting about them. Commentary. One group of Vaikuntavasis maintained that the Lord's pastimes as a cowherd are his eternal leelas rather than temporary shows of Maya like the creation of the material world. The other group might have questioned what pleasure there could be in pastimes where the Lord has to run in fear from his mother, cry for her breast milk, labor at tending cows, and wander in forests that are strewn with thorns. The answer is simply that the Lord's activities are dear Bodha, beyond logical analysis. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastya Chade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We'll go back for continuity's sake and just read the previous verse. Devotees of the Lord have little regard for tales of his illusory affairs. Such narrations may be suitable in the beginning of devotional practice, but they do not factually glorify the Lord. These verses spoken by Vaikuntavasis objecting to the open singing of excellent prayers that Gopakumara had done, describing the Lord's activities in Gokula, which Gopakumara understands to be his his greatest glories. And as we said last time, that we've only heard one so far, but we will hear different opinions about these prayers that Gopakumara offered. Some of the Vaikunthavasis who spoke out already, they objected, saying that these descriptions of the Lord's activities that he performed when he descended in Gokul, they're just a display of his illusory activities, which he adopted this form, this two-armed form, as a cowherd boy, specifically just to cheat Kamsa and other demons such as Putana, while he was hiding out in Gokul, yet, of course, his purpose, the Lord's purpose, was so that he could, as we described, cheat Kamsa, making him think that he wasn't the eighth child born of Devaki. And then again, also, that he couldn't have been, because he just looked like an ordinary cowherd boy. And when the Lord descends, he has this four-armed form, which he manifests, and of course he didn't display that in Gokul, again for the reason of cheating Kamsa, and he assumed that form temporarily, which is the claim which has been presented so far of one group of Vaikunthavasis. And they also said that such descriptions, such activities, they don't really factually glorify the Lord. And then, of course, if we remember, we read a verse that Sanatana Goswami quoted in the commentary, describing how devotees should hear about the Lord's activities in relationship to his energies, including his illusory energies. And the point that was made by Sanatana Goswami in his commentary is that the Vaikunthavasis could accept that such offerings that Gopakumara was making could be done, but they're for newcomers, because newcomers do have to hear about these descriptions of the Lord's activities in relationship to his illusory energy. But for us, it's not appropriate for us to hear it, and neither, because there are no illusory activities in Vaikuntha, and neither is it appropriate for our Lord, because he certainly has no connection with the illusory energy whatsoever. So therefore, they weren't very happy. And now, today's verse is going to be the second group. The second group, as we said, there are three groups. And the second group, they're saying that some of those residents of Vaikuntha said, among the Lord's inconceivable activities, those playful pastimes are also his. They're his. But there's no fault in, and so there is no fault in chanting about them. Yet Sanatana Goswami does raise a point in his commentary that they're his, but what pleasure could he find in such pastimes? And if he has to run in fear from his mother, or cry for her breast milk, labor at tending cows, and wander in forests that are strewn with thorns. So they're his, But we can accept it. They're his, and we won't argue against your efforts to glorify him in this way. But nonetheless, they don't fully, again, appreciate these descriptions for the reasons just expressed. The answer, Sanatana Goswami gives, is simply that the Lord's activities are durbodha, and they're beyond logical analysis, which is, of course, a suitable explanation. All his activities are beyond logical analysis, that we cannot approach the Lord in any way simply by mundane logic. I can't remember the verse Prabhupada quotes about the achintya shakti, from the Mundaka Upanishad, but basically that verse states that the Lord cannot be approached in any way simply by logic and argument. He cannot be understood. So don't, as Sanatana Goswami is saying, don't try to understand them in this way. They have a particular mentality also, and that mentality is going to be disclosed in the next two verses. So I'd rather than speaking about it, I'm going to just go to the next two verses, and we'll take up that mentality, which is inherent in their nature. Text 106. Kaishchin mahadbistan sarvan nirvayoktam idam rusa akim evam nagadyeta bhavadbir abhudar eva. Then a few extremely exalted devotees stopped all the others and angrily said, "Really? Why are you talking like this? As if you had no intelligence." There's no commentary. I would like to say something, though, even though there's no commentary. Because we have been saying repeatedly, when speaking about the consciousness of the residents of Vaikuntha, one of their symptoms of the residents of Vaikuntha, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also describes this as one of the reasons why the four Kumaras were not appreciated for what they had done and by cursing Jai and Vijay. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does explain that they manifested anger. And he explains that in Vaikuntha, and there's no anger, or there shouldn't be anger. I think that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. He says there shouldn't be anger in Vaikuntha. And we've always emphasized again and again that there's always friendly dealings, always mutual respect, and freedom from envy. And yes, freedom from anger, but the anger which I would imagine is being described here is not Virodha Yukta Krodha, which is the anger which is described in Upadeshamrita, which is Krodha, that anger which arises from some attachment. Their anger is, and it wasn't really emphasized as something that was, you know, there was no malice, certainly no malice, which is another characteristic of Virodha Yukta Krodha. Virodha Yukta Krodha is described in, as Prabhupada describes in the Upadeshamrita, which is anger, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes attached, attachment, one becomes, his attachments are not fulfilled, he becomes angry, bewildered, intelligence is lost, he falls into the material whirlpool, and so on. It is not that type of anger at all which was manifest. And certainly Vaikuntha is not devoid of emotions, and therefore their anger had no malice whatsoever. But they said, really, why are you talking like this, as if you had no intelligence? So I don't consider it that example or that of the or use of the word anger to be similar to what the four Kumaras, the anger they displayed, because they cursed. They cursed Jayan Vijay. It was that kind of anger. And that was not acceptable for Vaikuntha. And that is why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, generally, anger is not something that should be displayed in Vaikuntha. I believe it's that type of anger. But that's my commentary. There's no commentary here. So that's my commentary upon the use of the word anger. And I don't really see it as any way contradictory. So, next verse. Text 107. Krishnasya bhakta vatsalyad yasya kasya pikarmana sankirtanam mahan eva gunashi prabhudoshanaha. Krishna is so kind to his devotees that sankirtan of any of his activities is glorious and beneficial and satisfying to our divine master. Commentary. Now the Vaikunthavasis who best understand the Supreme Lord's glories are speaking. All the Lord's pastimes are transcendental, and to glorify any of them is auspicious, because the Lord enacts them for the benefit of his devotees. As he has said in his own words, Muhurtenapi samhartum shakto yadyapi danavam mad bhaktanam vinodartam karomi vividha kriyaha darshana dhyana samparshay matsya kurma vahangama svanyapatyani pushnanti tataham api padmaja. Translation. This is a verse from the Padma Purana. Although I can annihilate all the Danavas within a few minutes, I perform various pastimes just to entertain my devotees. Just as the fish, the tortoise, and the bird nourish their offspring by respectively watching them, meditating on them, and keeping them in physical contact, so do I maintain my devotees, O lotus-born Brahma. Side comment. It's interesting, as I read this, I was thinking that just outside, there's a small patio, and there's a little canopy there. And about a month ago, a nest was built by one of the local Dambasis and a bird. This bird, every time I go out there to chant my japa, this bird hasn't moved for 1 month. She's there, sitting on the nest, sitting in the nest, on the nest. I suppose I haven't gone anywhere near them, but I suppose she's doing the third as described here, how the bird nourishes their offspring by respectively watching them, meditating on them, and keeping them in physical contact. So I can relate to this description of this verse by that example that I've been witnessing every day for the last month, although I haven't heard any chirping yet, so I don't think they've fully manifest themselves. But nonetheless, they're husband comes only once in a while. Usually, he's probably out gathering, you know, necessities, doing whatever. But I believe this verse refers to the mother who nourishes their offspring. None of the Supreme Lord's activities, therefore, are creations of Maya, material illusion, nor are they purposeless like the games of children. Different devotees, however, understand the Lord's pastimes in different ways. Among the residents of Vaikuntha, now speaking with Gopakumar, we can discern three different groups with three different mentalities. The first group consider the informal pastimes of Raj incompatible with the mood of Vaikuntha. The second are more liberal. And the third ardently refuse to discriminate against any of the Lord's pastimes. The devotees in Vaikuntha have these different attitudes for two reasons. First, bhakti takes on different qualities in accordance with the various disciplines performed to achieve it, such as the cultivation of knowledge. We'll speak about this. Second, the personality of Godhead for his various pastimes requires different moods in his devotees. In any case, none of the Vaikuntha devotees have said anything wrong. Without a doubt, pure devotional service in any form can earn one the highest benefit, even entrance into Sri Vaikuntha Dham. This has already been logically established, and it will be further discussed in later chapters of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, how to begin? Three groups are described here, and I don't know if you remember, but we did read previously verses in the first chapter of this section where Uttara was describing the different types of devotees who reside in Vaikuntha. There are those who are Jnana Bhaktas. There are those who are Shuddha Bhaktas. There are those who are Prema Bhaktas. There are those who are, I can't remember, Prematura. That's the last one. I think, what's the fourth one? I'll have to go look for it. I know who they are, but I can't remember the term. Premapara. Premapara. Yes. And she's speaking about these different devotees. Some are attached to knowledge. Others are pure. Others are situated in love of God. Others are immersed in love of God. And yet others are painfully overwhelmed by love of God. And all of these are described as pure devotees living in Vaikuntha, and how they enjoy forever in varied ways of happiness their direct service to the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Jnana Bhaktas example is given. Different examples are given. Jnana Bhakta is of Bharat Maharaj. Shuddha Bhakta is Ambarish Maharaj. The Prema Bhakta is Hanuman. And the Prema Para Bhakta is Arjuna and Pandavas. and the Premathura Bhaktas, Uddhava and Yadavas in Dwarka. And they all have different moods. And the happiness they all experience is, for them, the supreme happiness. They're perfectly situated in happiness in their particular relationship. But the Jnana Bhaktas, who reside in Vaikuntha, the Jnana Bhaktas, they're more concerned about knowledge of the Lord's opulences. And they're quite absorbed, not only of knowledge of his opulences, but knowledge about his activities, which we've already been describing. You know, his coming down to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and performing these kinds of activities. And they consider these activities to be the highest activities. And their knowledge is mostly what predominates is their knowledge of the greatness of the Lord in terms of his opulences and his power. And that is described, and I'll read that. It's described in one purport in the first chapter, where Sanatana Goswami says, since various levels of sadhana bring various degrees of perfection, it is undeniable that in Vaikuntha, where happiness reaches its ultimate limits, some devotees enjoy more happiness and some less. As we said, everyone experiences for themselves, it's the ultimate happiness. But we always have to look from an outside view. From an outside view, this statement is being made. From reference, it seems that some are experiencing more happiness and some less happiness. But Sanatana Goswami makes it very clear, for them, it's the ultimate happiness. Because they don't know of any happiness which is greater than the happiness they experience in their service of the Lord and their worship of the Lord. So, the point that we just brought out, there are various levels of sadhana bring various devotees, various degrees of perfection. And that is the point that Sanatana Goswami has made in today's verse, that there are some devotees who are in Vaikuntha who, for a long time, they were performing their sadhana and were more absorbed in knowledge of the Lord's greatness and opulence in terms of the descriptions we've already been giving about Aishwarya. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, the first, the bhakti takes on different qualities in accordance with the various disciplines performed to achieve it, such as the cultivation of knowledge. So there are some residents of Vaikuntha who are more absorbed in knowledge of these opulences of the Lord. And therefore, because they're more absorbed in it, there's one other point. Where is it? I hope I can find it. Yes, he says also in the same purport, we should recognize a natural hierarchy in the varieties of devotional service. Because jnana bhaktas harbor some attachment to knowledge, the pure ecstasies of prema do not develop in their hearts even while they live in Vaikuntha. They don't have the same ecstasies as others who are see the Lord, worship the Lord, and attained their perfection by a different means than by knowledge. So that is the point here. The transcendental happiness they deserve is confined mostly to their mental activities. Shuddha bhaktas enjoy a greater happiness, which enlivens all their senses through hearing and chanting about the Lord. So these are the Shuddha bhaktas. And these Shuddha bhaktas were the ones who spoke up and saying, hey, any pastime of the Lord is transcendental. These others, they have, you know, why are you, they're not appropriate. The Shuddha bhaktas, they derive a greater happiness by descriptions or narrations of any of the Lord's pastimes. If they're the Lord's pastimes, they're transcendental. Although you're calling them illusory, they are transcendental. And although you're calling them illusory, nonetheless, the Lord is still very pleased when he hears his devotees glorify them. It attracts him. So you should not in any way disturb this Gopa Kumar, should not obstruct him. It's okay, the Lord's pleased by any of his activities. They're aware of them, but although they're aware of them, they're still not of the same nature as those devotees who are beyond being aware of them, but who continuously experience them in their mood of friendship or parental affection. And just as the descriptions are given of Mother Jasoda, you know, how is it that, you know, Krishna, he has to, you know, how can he be happy by living in constant fear from his mother? But yet, this is Durbhoda. It's inconceivable. It cannot be understood. It cannot be known. It cannot be known to those who are still attached to knowledge. In fact, we sing this, been singing it every night. But in the third verse of Dhammadharastakam, what is that verse? Okay. When I have to remember it, I forget it. Tadi yeshu tu geshu bhaktaya jitatvam. What is this first? How does it begin? Forgive me. I say it every night, and I remember it, but only in sequence. Itidrik. Itidrik svalilabhir anandakunde svagosham nimajantam akyapayantam tadi yeshita geshu bhaktaya jitatvam punat prematastam satavriti vande. What is such a Vatramuni saying? He's revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of his supreme majesty and opulence that he is conquered only by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy. So it's difficult for them to understand that this is pastime. It's the Lord's submission, his willingness to be conquered by love, spontaneous love, which attracts him more than anything else, and which is we oftentimes describe in the, even in the pastime of Damodar Lila, how Krishna became conquered by Mother Jasoda's love. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in his commentary to that verse that when Mother Jasoda was attempting to bind her son, and she tried to bind him with a rope and found that she couldn't do it, and then she was struggling very hard in her labor to bind him, and she said, can all of you, to all the cowherd women who had gathered there, said, can you please help me? Can you Go to your homes and everybody please bring some rope so I can attach the rope to this rope. It seems this rope is not long enough to bind my son. And the cowherd women were trying to discourage Jasoda from this attempt. And they were telling, why can't you just accept that your son's waist is beyond the limits of being bound? And why are you continuing in this effort? But nonetheless, because Jasoda's position, the queen of Vrindavan, the cowherd women were all very submissive to her request, and they all brought rope. And then Jasoda began tying one rope after the next, and even though she was tying one rope after the next, it was still two fingers too short. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the reason why Krishna didn't want to be bound is because Krishna had a desire, and his desire is he wanted to play with his friends. And all his friends were waiting for him. And that's what he, that desire, because that was desire was there, and although Mother Jasoda's desire was there, still, because he wanted to play with his friends, two potencies manifested. One was his Satya Sankalpa Shakti, and the Satya Sankalpa Shakti is Lord's potency which fulfills his desires. He doesn't have to endeavor to fulfill the desires himself. He has his potencies. It does it for him. So his Satya Sankalpa Shakti joined together with his Vibhuti Shakti. And the two of them manifested right at that time. His Vibhuti Shakti was a display of Vibhuti, is means great opulences. Although generally in Goloka, the Lord's opulences are not something which is dwelled upon. It is not something which is considered to be as important as the Lord's submission to the love of his devotees. But nonetheless, and as we described before, sometimes the opulences may manifest temporarily. So his Vibhuti Shakti manifested. And how did it manifest? Well, tying together so many ropes, and still every time, it's inconceivable. How can they still be two fingers too short? So that was his Vibhuti Shakti, and the Satya Sankalpa Shakti was there because he wanted to go play with his friends. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that what happened was that because of the hard labor of Mother Jasoda, and the word he uses, parishrama, hard labor. Parishrama actually means hard labor. What was her hard labor? She was endeavoring so much to tie up her son that Krishna, he became so much attracted by her efforts to tie him up with motherly affection. Because who can tie up the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Prabhupada makes the point many places that Krishna, and especially in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam commentary, he says that Krishna was not conquered, he was not tied by the robes of Mother Jasoda, but he was bound by the love of Mother Jasoda. So it was the love that captured Krishna's attention. And what happened when Krishna was bound, agreed to be bound by that love? Then, because he saw in Mother Jasoda, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur called it Bhakta Nishta. Bhakta Nishta means that Mother Jasoda manifested such a strong determination to bind him that Krishna also has Nishta, his own Nishta. It's called Svanishta. Svanishta means he also has his own determination. What is his own determination? His own determination is that he allows himself to become conquered by the love of his devotees. And that reigns supreme. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that that quality of Krishna is the emperor of all of his qualities, Bhakta Vatsal, is that when his devotee endeavors to please the Lord exclusively by the strength of the devotee's constant endeavor, then what happens? And what happened to Krishna was that his kripa shakti, his mercy, his heart melted. His heart completely melted. Like just, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, just like butter melts, Krishna's heart melted. And when his heart melted and his kripa shakti manifested, then what happened? It was the Satya Sankalpa shakti and the Vibhuti shakti. They said, we're not going to stay around any longer. They immediately left. They left. And then what happened? When they left, then and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives a very, very important point. He says, when there is a competition between the Lord and his devotee, the devotee's will always reign supreme. In other words, the Lord will always allow himself to become defeated by his devotee when there's competition. Whose devotees? Which devotees? Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan Dehinam Gopika Sutta. Those devotees who render service in spontaneous love. Krishna is so much attracted by that spontaneous love. His heart melts. His kripa shakti manifests. And even though he wanted, even though he had his desire was defeated by Jasoda's desire. Who says that the Lord's desire is supreme? And therefore we see in the instances, in the pastimes of the Lord in association with his devotees who have unalloyed, spontaneous love, their desires reign supreme and the Lord becomes totally submissive. But those who are attached to knowledge, they can't understand this. Durbodha. Durbodha means fathomless. Durbodha means it's inconceivable. Durbodha means go ahead, try to go there with your knowledge, by your calculation, by your everything that you try to understand about the Supreme Lord as you know him, but you won't go there. You won't be able to understand. Therefore, Satyavrata Muni is saying, Iti drik svalilabhya ananda kundes svagosham nimajtam akyapayantam tari yeshitu yeshiya tari yeshita geshu bhaktaya chitatvam punak pematas tam sata vritti vande. Which means, for those who are attached to the knowledge, gyan, those who are attached to the gyan, knowledge about the greatness of the Lord, then what does Krishna do? Krishna tries to show them the superiority of those whose love for the Lord, what is it? Is this the verse we describe melts in pools of ecstasy? Where it says, no, that is, yes. By such childhood pastimes as this, he is drowning the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy and is revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge, are attached to knowledge of his supreme majesty and opulence, that he is conquered only by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conceptions of awe and reverence. With great love, I again offer my obeisances to Lord Damodar hundreds and hundreds of times. So, because Jnana Bhaktas harbor some attachment to knowledge, the pure ecstasies of prema do not develop in their hearts, even while they live in Vaikuntha. So that's why they're speaking according to their understanding. And there's others who have a different understanding. Their different understanding is, no, they have a higher understanding. They have a greater understanding that, no, the Lord's pastimes are his pastimes. And because they're his pastimes and they're not illusory, they're eternal, we should hear them. We should be willing to hear them. And the Lord certainly, because they're his pastimes, the Lord will certainly will be pleased by hearing such pastimes. Even though they're Bodha. Even though we can't completely understand them. And even though they can't completely understand them. And even though... But a devotee can understand. A devotee can understand by the mercy of the Lord. The devotee can understand these pastimes. And only when they're revealed. What is that verse? Atapi te deva padam buja dvaya prasada lisena grihita evahi. That if one really wants to know the greatness of Krishna's personality, what is the real greatness of his personality? Only if he can get a drop of mercy from Krishna's lotus feet will he be able to know. So there's no other way to obtain it. So this is revealed to the devotees. And of course, Lord Narayan doesn't reveal to those whose hearts are not imbued with such love, because they love him in a different way. And because he has his pastimes, and with the second point, which was made in today's verse, the first point, bhakti takes on different qualities in accordance with the various disciplines performed to achieve it, such as the cultivation of knowledge. And the second point was the personality of Godhead for his various pastimes requires different moods in his devotees. So in other words, his pastimes are unlimited, and being unlimited, therefore, in order to display his pastimes in an unlimited way, then there has to be devotees with different moods, because his pastimes are always responsive to the moods of his devotees. Otherwise, where's your question of pastime? Krishna doesn't do anything. You know, he's not, what is that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Namam kamani limpanti nami kama pale spiha iti mam yabujanati kama birna sabhajate. Krishna says, there's no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. Anyone who knows this truth about me also doesn't become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. So in other words, this point that is made is that Krishna doesn't have to do anything. Anything Krishna does, he does for his pleasure. Doesn't have to do anything. So obviously, he doesn't derive pleasure from having to reciprocate with persons who have material attachments. He doesn't derive any pleasure from becoming attached to anything in this world. He doesn't derive any pleasure from coming to this world for doing anything else except to give pleasure to his devotees and to deliver his devotees. And in many places, Prabhupada explains that Krishna doesn't even have to come to deliver his devotees, because his devotees are already delivered. So Krishna comes because he wants to give pleasure to his devotees. And therefore, some are perceiving it one way, but the devotees are seeing it another way. But whatever Krishna does, he's just like, as the verse is quoted, I perform these various pastimes just to entertain my devotees. Just as the fish, the tortoise, and the bird nourish their offspring by respectively watching them, meditating on them, and keeping them in physical contact, so do I maintain my devotees. He maintains them by performing such diverse pastimes in accordance with the desires of his devotees. Otherwise, he has nothing to do. What does he have to do? And even, therefore, sometimes those who are accustomed to the jnana bhaktas, they're more, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this, Sanatana Goswami also explains it, they're much more attracted to hearing about the Purusha avatars, you know, about the process of creation. It's a pastime of the Lord, but, and we already spoke about that in the verse that we quoted last class. Prabhupada said that we should not discriminate about hearing about the Purusha avatars. And yes, it is Krishna's pastimes. But yet for one whose heart is already been awakened to spontaneous attraction to the pastimes of the Lord in Goloka, then he has a particular attraction more to those pastimes than he may, than the jnana bhaktas have towards the creation and also the Purusha avatars and the opulences of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Still, being consistent with the purport that we read, the devotee hears these topics and he is nourished by them. Because any activity of the Lord, which was spoken by these devotees, is completely transcendental, it's purifying, it's spiritual, and the Lord derives pleasure when the devotees glorify him in this way. So we should be very, very careful in our discrimination about pastimes of the Lord. But at the same time, if one hears other pastimes of the Lord properly, and Prabhupada made that point also in the purport that we read from the second canto, if one hears these pastimes properly, then certainly there is benefit to hearing them. But one should do so with the right motive. And if the right motive is not there, that it's for the Lord's pleasure, then one will think only of his own pleasure. And if he thinks only of his own pleasure, better to go back to Purusha Avatar Lila, the greatness of the Lord, and everything else in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in this way, at least by increasing and gaining our understanding of the Lord's greatness, then we, at least by knowing more of his greatness in this way, it will help us to understand, wait a minute, if he's the supreme great, I must be his servant. And therefore, it is always beneficial to hear it for those who tend to forget, I'm his servant. And if we have that tendency to forget, then we need to be reminded of his greatness. And if we awaken some attraction for his more intimate devotional pastimes, and if they're spontaneously awakened within our heart, not because it's for my pleasure, but although I may experience some pleasure, but the Lord is pleased. The Lord is pleased when the devotee gives his ears for hearing such transcendental narrations. As described in the Shushusho Shranadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sianmayat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevana, that by hearing to such pastimes of the Lord, then what happens? Then by rendering service to such devotees who are glorifying the Lord in this way, then one becomes attached to hearing and chanting about his pastimes. He becomes attached, and one actually begins to think about service. This is service to hear. Nashta prayeshu abhajeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Regular devotional service by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the devotees, and all that is troublesome to the heart is destroyed. Loving devotional service becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Therefore, Prabhupada said, as we read in the last class, in the purport, that sometimes people asked him to go immediately to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, no, better, they first learn how to become a servant of the Lord. And I'm going to begin right from the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he has expressed in that purport from the second canto, it is much more beneficial for them because they, by hearing about these descriptions of the Lord's greatness, about creation and everything else that is there, then one will be increasingly understand one's position as a servant of the Lord. It's not that one won't understand one's position of a servant of the Lord by hearing 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Certainly one will do it, but it's always for the Lord's pleasure. If I get pleasure from it, it's because the Lord is pleased. Bhajaniya paramasukha matra susukadvam. If I get any pleasure from it, it's because the Lord is pleased. Therefore, let me continue to please the Lord by hearing about and describing such topics. There's nothing else to be achieved than the Lord's pleasure. So there may be some pleasure. Prayena munaya rajan nivrita vidisevata. The topmost transcendentalists, they derive their greatest pleasure and satisfaction by hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. The topmost transcendentalists, this is how they derive their pleasure. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, machchita madgata prana bodhiyatak parasparam. My devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. Yes, they get pleasure. Why? Because the Lord is pleased. Yaidam paramam guyam madbhakteshva vidyasati. For one who explains the supreme secret to devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. The chattasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. There's no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be anyone more dear to me than he. Krishna's pleasure always reigns supreme. So, whatever we hear, we should hear for the pleasure of the Lord, because it's for his pleasure. He becomes pleased when we submit our ears to the transcendental descriptions and narrations of these pastimes of the Lord and instructions of the Lord. So devotees, the Lord maintains his devotees in these different ways. I was going to explain something else. I was going to read a reference, a very nice reference from the Paramatma Sandarbha, actually. It was a nice reference about this verse about how the Lord engages in his pastimes just to entertain his devotees. But maybe we'll take it up on Monday, because it's already almost time for me to end. I have to do Dhammadharastakam this evening, and I should end in about 5 minutes. So, I'll end here. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We can chant one round. Let's chant one round together, and then I'll end, and I'll go prepare for Dhammadharastaka. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare